This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
BFM 89.9, you're listening to The Morning Run with Koo Soo Chuang and myself, Wong Xiaoning. Now, in about half an hour, we're going to be having the breakfast grill where Chuang will be talking to Cheryl Hamdan, Deputy Chief of UMNO Youth, and Tama Pillay, co-founder of Undi 18. What will you all be talking about, Chuang?
What about the young people? Ostensibly, anywhere around the world, the young people are the future of any country and no different in Malaysia. The problem is, by and large, the young people have not been as taken care of by the governments in recent years because they've been, in a way, left behind. And the data and statistics show it, right? All the way from social mobility to access to housing or being able to buy a house or a car, or to be even socially mobile, all the way to losing their jobs because they are the most vulnerable. All these are playing on youth minds, and I will get into these issues with both Tatama and Cheryl, because they, more than anything else, represent the future of the country as well because of what they do.
Yeah, very important issues, especially when you think youth unemployment is like rising to, you know, above what, mid-double-digit numbers now?
Yeah, pre-COVID was 15%.
So it can only get higher, right? Yeah. Well, meanwhile, we're looking at the US dollar this morning, and this is because COVID-19 pandemic seems to have taken a turn for the worse with renewed outbreaks in the US. Meanwhile, macro data also points to the most severe decline in GDP since records began. So this has reinforced the existing monetary easy policy that the Feds have embarked on, with no end in sight for this ultra-low rate environment. So with that, is the US dollar's reputation as the defensive and safe haven bet among global currencies still intact? And is the US dollar heading for a new low? So this is a question we asked Terence Wu, FX strategist at OCBC Bank, especially since the greenback has lost 10% of its value since the all-time high in March. Terence, what are your thoughts on the deglobalization of this US dollar?
Yes, deglobalization has been a recurring term over the past 1 to 2 years or so. The term itself definitely is quite nebulous, and there are different issues at hand. I think the closest angle we have here is how deglobalization actually affects market sentiment in the short run and global growth in the medium term. And that draws upon the dollar's characteristics as a safe haven, counter-cyclical currency. If you realize, every time issues relating to globalization arise, such as trade war, Sino-US tensions, tariffs, these things tend to lead to near-term market tension and risk-off. Right, that is supportive of the dollar. Similarly, they also tend to have a negative impact on global growth in the medium term. Again, that is dollar supportive. Over time, however, we do expect people to get used to the trend, settle into a new norm, right? And then that is when we expect these dollar supportive effects to dissipate. That is when we also talk about longer term trade flows and the dollar as the principal currency of trade. But when we do get to that stage, the dollar itself would probably be less important a pillar in terms of the global trade infrastructure. But in that kind of a time horizon, whether the dollar itself will be stronger or weaker, I think that's still anyone's guess at this point in time.
Yeah, Terence, how at all has the dollar been impacted by the COVID-19 virus?
Yeah, again, we tackle this through two different channels. One is the risk of global growth angle that we have already talked about in the previous question. And if you take a look on the situation based on this angle, the market unease and the growth concerns are definitely the most stuck in March. And that is when we saw the dollar spike higher. Since then, the market has come significantly, and we are effectively on risk on right now, and global growth is recovered faster than expected. And that kind of dollar negative situation is basically what we have since April itself. The new channel that we are seeing really is the US being the epicenter of the pandemic. And that is the case when the second wave started to hit the US. So the worsening of the situation in the US right now is probably an idiosyncratic negative for the dollar. Going forward, we may start to see global growth concerns start to creep in again, and a second wave or even a third wave infections spreading globally. I think if that sparks another round of risk-off, then we do expect the dollar to strengthen yet again. The only problem now is that we are not seeing these negative developments affect the market in a significant way. So for now, we still expect the dollar to be on the soft side.
And Terence, the US is heading for presidential elections in November. Does the outcome of that have any bearing on the US dollar strength?
In general terms, a Democrat Senate plus a Democrat president, which is what the polls are suggesting right now, tends to be dollar negative. That much, I guess, we are still comfortable to say. However, the specifics in terms of the policy platforms on both sides are still very much unclear at this point in time. So we are not at the stage whereby we can do a scenario analysis or a policy by policy breakdown in terms of how the dollar will be expected. So I think if the polls are correct as of now, the tendency might be for the dollar to soften after the elections, but it is still way too early to say for sure for now.
So Terence, what's your view of the dollar going forward?
We have sort of hinted a bit about this in the previous answers. In the coming sessions, we are still not too convinced by the potential turn in the dollar's prospects. We had about 2 days of positive dollar movements, but do note that the key technical levels are still very much intact. And by and large, the risk-on sentiment is still holding up at this point in time. So we are still actually looking for more dollar weakness in the immediate horizon. But having said that, we do think that it pays to actually stay nimble at current levels. We are definitely looking out for more evidence for a change in terms of market sentiment. For example, if U.S. equities or even gold prices start to lose traction and turn south, that may be a clearer signal in turn for the dollar prospects to turn higher.
And Terence, very quickly, looking at regional currencies, do you see any which might actually see some weakness?
In terms of regional currencies, I think what we are looking out for at this point in time is really the Sing. The Sing dollar has been tracking the broad dollar prospects itself very closely over the past 4 to 6 weeks. It is almost a one-for-one kind of movement between the broad dollar and the dollar Sing itself. So I think right now, if we do see further weakness in the US dollar, then we may in turn see further weakness in the Sing dollar itself.
And that was Terence Wu, FX strategist, at OCBC Bank, saying that the dollar outlook may be a soft one, especially in the months ahead, coming with the presidential elections in November. And Democrats usually means a weaker dollar. Although at this moment, we don't really know what their policies are going to be like.
Well, it's hard to see any upside for the dollar when you've had this government in America, which has been printing dollars like it's growing out of fashion. Under Donald Trump's watch in the last 3 years, he's expanded the Fed balance sheet by, what, $7 trillion? More might come with this latest iteration of the stimulus spending. Look, I mean, when you analyze the asset, you know, the so-called asset quilt for the month of July gone by, the US dollar was one of the worst performing, if not the worst performing asset class in that period. And guess what? The best performing asset class in that period was gold and Bitcoin. The difference, I think, between those three asset classes is that gold and Bitcoin have finite quantities. You cannot print any more of them. You cannot expand them unless you mine the deepest, furthest reaches of planet Earth in the case of gold. But with dollar, they're just printing it out, printing it every day, right?
Yeah.
That's why I don't see that the US government can see if any upside for the dollar. But the thing is, it does not help exports of American product because it makes their stuff cheaper. So I guess there's always an upside to it.
Yeah, I mean, this recent decline in US dollar is definitely, like you say, due to the monetary policy easing and also the quantitative easing. So if you look at some of the key indicators like US M1 money supply, that's grown like 36%. M2 money supply grown 23%. At the same time, this is the part that's worrying. The US debt issuance is
record
increasing.
Yeah.
And ratings agency Fitch has also responded by downgrading US sovereign outlook to negative from stable.
Yeah.
So the outlook somewhat still quite murky for the US dollar at this moment. And as a result, I think the ringgit has somewhat appreciated to 4.24 against the dollar.
4.219, actually.
Oh, is it?
Yeah. It's not because we've done any better. It's because they've done a lot worse. Because Donald Trump is just making sure that everything's awesome. And he's just printing dollars like he's going out of fashion.
Sadly, we can't travel despite the appreciating ringgit, though.
Gold last night crossed $2,000 an ounce for the first time ever, and now it's going up even higher, 2026.
I know, record highs.
It's up 34% this year.
I know, you
gold, never, okay, gold. Gold, which doesn't give you dividends, it just doesn't give you any income.
But obviously has seen major capital appreciation. But up next, we'll be speaking to Dr. M. Nias Azadullah of the Global Labour Organization on the foreign labour freeze. Now stay tuned, BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.